9. I'm going to read all of these verses through verse 11, but verse 2 is my main verse. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due, it says, unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters, and the God of glory, he said, thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is power, it says, and is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord, he said, breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to, it says, skip like a calf. He said, Lebanon and Syrian, it says, like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord, he said, shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh, it says, the wilderness of Kadesh. And he said, the voice of the Lord, he said, maketh the hinds, he says, the calf. And he said this, the scrub of the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. But listen to this. Excuse me. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Let's pray. Well, dear Father, may we have an understanding this morning as we look at part of this text about worship truly being a way of life every day. We need to have that relationship where nothing can divide us, but everything draws us closer to you. And I ask today, Father, in this service, that your name will be lifted high, that your name will be centered, and our lives will reflect it in the service and when we leave here today. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. So what is worship in just a few words? What can I tell you that maybe will help you along? If you've got, you take notes, write this down. Simple definition. Very simple. This is worship. Honor and adoration directed to God. Honor and adoration directed to God. Now that's not hard to remember, is it? But I'll guarantee you when I leave here today and I'll ask you that same question, you'll all look at me and go, huh? What did I just say? Honor and adoration to God. Say it with me. Honor and adoration directed to God. That's what worship really is today, has always been. We need to start out our lives today and understand that we need more and more and more detailed information, don't we, about God? Not really. But the world would say you need more information. We don't have enough. I've got so much information in this book called the Bible that I'll never finish it all. Not in my lifetime, not in your lifetime, or anybody else's lifetime. But God's love for us, in that we are to honor him, to show adoration to him, and direct everything that we do in our lives to him. But I think sometimes become weak. You can talk about worship. You can sit in church and say, yeah, I worship today. You can invite people to church to come worship with you. All kind of things that we can do, but God should be giving to us what? We think God should be giving to us everything. But my question is this, what are you giving back to God? What are you doing to get him lifted up in your life? What are you doing to get him lifted up in the church? What are you doing to sustain him in everything that you do? Is God number one in your life? Jesus Christ centered in that relationship? Is your worship true? Is it direct to the Lord every day that you live? You know, I look around this church this morning, I think to myself, I could say a lot of things. I could tell you where you are, where you're at, where you're going, and things you're not doing, things that you should do. But the question is this, do you know where you are? Do you know where you are in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you look at verse 2 of this text? Because this is my scripture this morning. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord how? In the beauty of his holiness. Did you see that? Worship him in the beauty of his holiness. The truth of the matter is this. That we are to be meek individuals. Not weak. Strong in what we believe in. Living every day as we should. praising Jesus Christ, moving in the direction of love, unity, and togetherness. That's what the Bible teaches us. We're living in a day and time where the world hates every one of us as call ourselves Christians today. They don't like you because you stand for something that they can't even recognize. Why can't they recognize it? Because we don't even recognize who we are. If you call yourself a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you need to reflect that in your walk of life. Number one, you need to reflect it. Do you reflect that every day? Or do you have attitudes every day? Do you say obscenities during the week? Do you look at people that you say you don't like and you walk away from them and maybe you may curse them or something or have some problem with them? What does that show people about you? And then you say, I am a Christian, a born-again believer. Well, let me tell you what. If your life is not exemplifying that day after day after day, and you're not living to the fullest potential God has given to you, you don't have what you say you have. Because a Christian strives the best that they can every day to be the best they can in living for the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we need to perfect ourselves in what God has for us to do. Not just in your walk with Him, but in your relationship, my friends, of worship and spending time with the Lord. When was the last time you really got on your face before God and prayed and asked God to intercede in your life? Yeah, we'll sit here on Sunday morning. Sometimes we look like bumps on a log sitting there and saying, oh, yeah, that sounded good, preacher, but it's not for me. Let me tell you what. Every word of God's Bible is for you. You hear that? Every little word from in the beginning to the amen end is directed to you and to me to live our lives by. But why can't we live that way? Because we don't know how to balance the truth of God's word and to use it in our walk of life. It's like a scale, right? You got a scale. Remember the old scales they used to have? You'd go in a store, you know, and they would put something on this side and weigh it, and they'd put the little thing over here and it would, you know, tell you how much you owe. You know, we don't have any balance in our life. You know, we teeter either one way or we teeter the other way. How do you get balance back in your life? Put God in the center of it, it'll balance out for you. But we don't do that, see? We need to render honor and adoration to God every single day that we live in this world. That is the essence of our relationship. We should have a heart set on worship when you come to church. It should be ready. You should be prayed up and ready to go. Many years ago, Dr. Creswell, who was the pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, he was in a revival service. Great service. Everything was going well. And he called on somebody to pray. You may have heard this before, but act like you didn't. He called on a man to pray. Well, this man got into a prayer mode, okay? 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 25 minutes. Well, he's praying his heart out. After 30 minutes, Dr. Creswell interrupted him, and he said this. He said, if you've got that much to pray about right now, you need to pray up before you get here, amen? What he told him. The fact was this. If you're going to pray and see God, pray every day. Get on the right path with Him. Get in the right relationship with Him. Just lay your burdens at His feet. That's what we're to do, because our attitude makes a whole lot of difference in how we worship God in our lives. It's our attitude that we have. And we should have that uplifted attitude. Some of you here are going through a lot of difficulties in your life right now. It could be financial. It could be spiritual. Physical, whatever it is. You're going through a lot right now, but guess what? God is there for you, regardless of what you're going through. He will see that you'll get through what you're going through. And what it does when you're going through the difficulties of life, it is to make you stronger in your walk with the Lord. But sometimes we want to point fingers and say, God, why is this happening to me? Let me tell you what, God will reveal to you sooner or later why. It's like when someone passes away, the first thing they ask the preachers is why? I'm going to give you the Billy Graham summary of this. I don't know why. Everybody goes through turmoil in their life. Everybody suffers somewhere along the way in their life. Ups and downs may come. You can't tell me in this room here that nobody's ever had a problem. Guarantee you, every one of us have. Where do you take it to? You take it to the Lord. That's where you take it to. Before I found Christ and Christ found me, let me tell you what, I'd take it to me. I didn't worry about anybody else. I tried to do things in my own understanding, and boy, did that get in trouble. If you leave everything to God's understanding to talk to you, to speak to you, to work with you, He will show you where you are and what direction that you need to take. But there has to be that mode of worship in our lives today. So let me give you three dimensions here that I want to talk about. There is something called the outward dimension. Worship can be reflected, he said, in how we behave towards others. The outward expression of how we behave towards others. Now, I want you to take your Bibles, and I want you to turn with me, if you've got them with me, to Romans 14, please. Romans chapter 14. Because I want to show you something here that may well help you. Maybe your life isn't what it should be. Maybe it'll help you. But in chapter 14 and verse 18, Paul said this very plain. I like what Paul said. Paul was right at directing what he had to say. Look what he said in verse 18. For he that is, he said, for he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. In other words, if you're living for Christ like you should, what's he saying? You serve Christ, you're accepted by those around you because you're serving Christ, and they're watching you. They're watching your attitude. They watch how you talk to others. They watch how you walk. I mean, do all these things. They want to make sure that you're on the right frame of mind, that you're doing the right thing in the right place. And a lot of times we can't say we are because a lot of times we drift from where we need to be. But he tells us also that what is the acceptable things that God wants us to do? Well, in that chapter again, he said this, for he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. But what is it that God wants you and he wants me to do in that outward appearance that we have? He wants us to reflect. That's a good word, reflect Christ in our lives. Because somebody may never see Christ only in you. And if you're not living your life accordingly as a Christian, my friends, how are they going to see Christ in you? Can't do it. Can't do it. So you have to look at where you are. What are you doing to better yourself in living for the Lord every day? Context reveals some other things too. Look at verse 13 it talks about in this same chapter. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge, he says, that rather that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall, he said, in his brother's way. Have you ever put a stumbling block in somebody's way? Huh? Don't cause somebody to fall? Have you done that? Have you tripped up, you know, somebody else in your life? It's not good, is it? You should be loving people. I always like the scripture that says, love your brother as yourself and even more, you know, and your neighbor too, right? Just think about this for just a minute. Well, let me tell you, it's hard sometimes to love your neighbor, isn't that right? Let me tell you what, sometimes you've got to take a lot, right? But as a Christian, you can overcome any obstacle in this world, my friends, so that you can be the person God wants you to be. Learn to love and care for one another. That's what it comes down to. Sharing the love relationship. You know, we sing songs when you're growing up, Jesus loves me, this I know. How do you know? Because the Bible tells me so. Isn't that true? And then you'll sing it again, Jesus loved me, this I know. For who? Maybe Jimmy told me so. I don't know. You know, what is it? What does it come down to? Who are you telling about Christ? Little songs like that give us an uplift. You know why? Because it has some bounce to it. You know, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. You know, little ones to him belong. They are weak, but what? He is strong. Yes, Jesus loved me. These are songs that we sang with little kids, right? But they're still for us today because we're still God's children, we're still little kids, and we still need to sing. Jesus loves me. Never be ashamed of that. Never be ashamed to do what God asks of us to do, but show it through the outward dimension that God has given to you on this day. Sharing God's love, sharing God's relationship. And then there's something else called the inward dimension. That's a good one. Who was I talking to this morning? Said they woke up and felt good. That's a song that goes, I woke up this morning feeling fine because I had Jesus on my mind. A song like that. I woke up this morning, I hurt all over. You know, feet hit the floor and I didn't want to go. You know, that's my song. You know, the fact is, when you wake up in the morning, do you feel good about knowing Jesus? You know, did you have him on your mind this morning? Was he in your heart this morning? Were you feeling that love, you know, that you should be sharing when you come to the doors of the church? Y'all do a good job of putting on those facades, though. Because you'll come in here, and, you know, I can watch you walking from the car. I love this part. You walk from the car, and you're like this. That's how you look. You just walk your head on it. And as soon as you get in the church, smile. Jimmy walks in the door, smiles. Say, how you doing, preacher? How's everything going for you? Oh, had a great morning. Things are going lovely this morning. Things are great, you know. I love Jesus. Jesus loves you. Isn't that right? Sure. Then we leave, get back in the car, and we same old thing. Why is that? Where's the joy at? Where's the love of Jesus Christ at? Well, if you think about it for just a minute and you go back to this verse in Psalm 29, he said this, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. So if you've got Christ in your life through the Holy Spirit, what happens? Boy, that inward feeling you have, your heart being right, boy, it just oozes right out. And that's what's so good about it. I'm going to show you what it is. I'm going to show you about it right now. Dwight, would you come here for a minute? Not you. I told Dwight too. I told Dwight to come, but I can use you too. Stand right there. Don't move. Don't move. Don't move. Dwight comes to church, right? And when Dwight walks into this church, here's Dwight. Here's Dwight. How you doing, brother?
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
I'm doing fine.
When you gonna get a haircut?
I just got one. Right.
See, that's me. You know why I do that? You know why I do that? Because he likes that. You got to make over him, right? Yeah. You got to make over him. See? And what does that do? That gives you that feeling of what? Togetherness. Oh, yeah. That's the body of Christ working. Doug, yeah, no, and you do the same thing back to me. Doug comes in, right? He tries to run over me with his cart, but that's okay. But what I do for Doug? I love Doug. See, Doug and I will give each other a hug too, say, like this. Because he told me when I come here 18 years ago, if the church couldn't pay me, he would, so I got to keep in good shape with him. Amen. Huh? Fellowship, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, see, I keep that on the back of my mind, see. But that's what we do. We love one another. We share. Thank you very much. We share with one another that love relationship. It's what's in here, the truth of what's in here that comes out here. And we feel that in the fellowship we have here. And that's something that nobody can take away from you. God puts it there. Keep it there. Oh, the devil would love to come in and disrupt everything, but we can't let him do that. We've got to put Christ in the center once again. See, this is good, it says. It's what God wants us to do. Well, you know, you can go to Romans 12, 1 and 2, and that's really the theme, really, for, you know, for us today, where it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, or I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, with your reasonable service. Be not what? Transformed? Is that what it tells us? Don't be transformed to this world that we live in, but do what? Don't convert yourself to the world. Transform yourself into what Jesus wants you to be. To be that what? Acceptable will in your life for him. You see, God has a plan for all of us. And that plan is for us to love him as he loves us and as we as individuals love each other. See, there's more fellowship when you have love for someone than when you're not having love for someone. Why do we see the world like it is? Because the world does not have that love. They don't understand the joy that we have as Christians, because that should be a joyful time when we come together. And when we meet each other, whether it's in a store somewhere or whatever, you know, we walk up and hug each other and say, how you doing today and all this. I mean, that's what the Christian is supposed to do. And what are you doing? You're demonstrating your love of Jesus Christ in your life that others may see around you. It's like praying when you go out to eat. How often do you do that? Huh? Should do it every time. And don't worry about what anybody else thinks. Maybe they'll catch on to it, you know. What is that showing? How much you love God. You're thanking him for his provision that he's given to you. That's what it's all about on the inward talk about our relationship today. Do not neglect, it says here in the scripture, do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. You do good and you share, God's pleased with it. It'll continue to be day after day after day. I want God to be pleased. I don't want him to be upset with me. I don't want him to look down and say, oh, man, you messed up again. No, I want him to be pleased each day when I go out and I share the gospel or talk to someone about Jesus. I want things to work in that direction. And I want that love to be there, because he tells me in this verse here that I am to love him. Well, so you look at the outward, you look at the inward. Well, that's another one you can look at too, another dimension. And it's called the upward dimension. Looking up. Have you ever thought about looking up? Look up right now. Let's look up. Yeah? Look up in the sea. What do you see? Have you ever noticed people? I remember when I was growing up, we used to have this thing in school. You walk around and you go. You ever notice how many people stop and go with you? Huh? Go outside somewhere, stand on the street corner somewhere, and then start looking up like this. Won't take long, you'll have a crowd. Yeah? They'll be looking for what you're looking for. And they'll say, what you looking for? I said, nothing really. You know, but they will do. Why did they do that? Because they follow. See, people like to follow. If you're doing something, they think it's important, doesn't anybody? Huh? You're not standing on the street right now and look up in the air. You know, for a long you're getting run over by a car out here because they ain't looking at you. The fact is this, that we have to understand when we're looking up and we're communicating with him, he's looking down communicating with me. Isn't that something? He's doing that. That's that relationship, that vertical relationship we have. It continues on the process. It never stops. It continues day after day after day in looking to the Lord. Look upward. Spend time. Go to Hebrews 13 very quickly with me. Now, this gives us a very good picture of this. And I want you to listen to it. If you don't have your Bible with you, I want you to listen to this. Make a note. Hebrews 13, 15, and 16. He said this. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. What's that next word after that? Continually. Praise him continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And he says to do it how? Continually giving praise to God. It's a constant thing. Being in that mindset, I praise him. Then the next verse says this. Let us go, therefore, he talks about. Do different things, he says. But then he said this in verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifice or sacrifices, he says, God is what? Well pleased. Oh, when you make a sacrifice in your life for the Lord, he's well pleased with it. Oh, he looks down and he smiles. He says, that's one of my children. Look at them, what they're doing. They're sacrificing this. They're sacrificing that. But what are they doing? They're living for me. We're not concerned about what we have in life. We're more concerned about what God has given us that we could use to help somebody else along life's path. As you look at that, look back to the verse 29, chapter 29 of Psalm and look at verse 2. Given to the Lord the glory that is due what? His name. Do you know that his name is above every name? And every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. I read an article the other day that was very interesting to me. This man was on his way to work and he got sick on the way to work. So he called his boss and told him, I'm on my way to the hospital. When he got to the hospital, he walked in and collapsed. They went in and they shocked him about 15, 16 times. Gave him all the shots. 45 minutes they worked on him. Nothing. So the doctors, he just gave up. He said, well, he's dead. So the nurse was there preparing him for the morgue, and the doctor walked away, and he was going to his office. And he was walking to the office, the Lord said this, impressed upon him this, go back and pray for him one more time. And, you know, he said, and you know how we are, you know, what's the first thing? He said, well, Lord, he's dead. He's gonna have him, you know, what am I going to do? You know, and the Lord impressed on him again, go pray for him one more time. So he did. He went back. He went in, the nurse was there. What are you doing here? He said, I'm going to pray for him. She said, well, he's dead. There's nothing you can do. So he just put his hands on and started to pray and didn't pray a big prayer. Lord, if it be thy will, heal this man. Bring him back. Then he looked at the other doctor standing there. He said, hit him again with the defibrillator. The man said, he's dead. There's nothing we can do now. He said, do it one more time. So they hit him with the defibrillator. Boom, started breathing. Heart started beating. Before long, they had him out of the emergency room, and they had him into a room. Doing fine, no brain damage, no nothing. He's doing good. Everything's great. So the doctor came in and sat down and talked to him. The doctor was a Christian. And he asked him, he says, what was it like on the other side? Now, this is what you do, I do it too. What was it like on the other side? That's what he said. He said, it was a place of darkness and I was all alone. You know what I said? He said, it was a place of darkness and I was all alone. Where's the place of darkness at? I preached on last week, hell. What did God do? He gave him a second chance, didn't he? He said, from that moment on, he accepted the Lord and started to live his life accordingly. And why did I tell you that? Because I want you to understand something. It's who we represent in our lives that makes a difference for those around us that we talk to. And it goes to show you God's power and strength and how God can do whatever God wants to do, from raising Jesus from the dead to raising Lazarus from the dead to raising anybody he wants at any time he wants. He can do it. Never underestimate what our Father can do. See, when I come to church to worship God, I want to just lay it out to him and say, Lord, I know that I'm a failure. I know I'm not 100%. I know that I need you every day. I'm not afraid to admit that as a minister because I'm not perfect and you're not perfect. And I know what I need and you know what you need. More and more of Jesus Christ. But the last thing is this. Our whole life should be filled with worship as a Christian. Our whole life should be filled with worship as a Christian. Well, how do I do that? By making your whole life centered on Jesus Christ. That's how you do it. He's got to be in the center of everything you do. Everything that you do. That's why it says in the scriptures, a state psalm that David wrote, when he said, give unto the Lord the glory, do him what? Unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. And the only way that you can ever worship him in the beauty of his holiness is have a right heart with Jesus. The Spirit living in you and being willing to admit that you're not perfect and asking God to intercede every day in your life. He will deliver you. He will put you on the road to recovery and he will help you in your walk of life. So the last question today is this. How are you doing? How are you doing? How are you doing in your worship? How are you doing in your walk? Well, I made some comments here I'm going to read to you because I don't want to miss nothing. Tragically, the element of worship is largely missing amid all the activity that goes on in the church. See, we can get so busy in our own everyday life, in the church and everything else, we forget why we are here. I don't care what it is we do in church, the most important thing is worship. The most important thing is worship. But we get so caught up in everything else around us that we forget about the worship time. In other words, our activities cloud us daily. Our activities. How many of y'all got a full schedule next week? Let's see. Got a full schedule next week, okay? All right. How many of y'all going to work tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock or sooner? Okay? All right. You get off about 4:35, sometimes later? Okay? Okay. Activities after? Most of the time, huh? Activities after? How about y'all? Activities after? Sure. For us old folks, we just barely get home. We just go back to the house and sit down. Amen. We've had enough activity. Amen. That's the way it works. But how are you doing right now in your walk with Jesus? How are you doing? Don't let the activities of life cloud you from serving Jesus Christ. You see? There's a missing jewel in the church, and A.W. Tozer said this, and I'll close. Listen very carefully. He made a statement about spiritual worship, and he said, too often we accept things that are not good. But he called worship, and this is what he called it, only a few words. He called worship the missing jewel in the church. You hear that? The missing jewel in the church, because that should be the jewel of the church. To come, to worship, to leave. To worship when we're not here. To worship when we come back. To worship every day. And to serve Jesus Christ. See? Did you know, and just several years ago, that there are 350,000 churches in the United States, roughly, some more than that now, that $80 billion of that is mostly buildings and facilities. 350,000 plus churches. And guess what? There's more that happens in the church than worship because they've forgotten about worship and would rather play games, donate their time to everything else but worship. If you can't worship God in church when you come, how are you going to worship him when you get to heaven? How are you going to lift up his name and sing to him those beautiful songs, those beautiful hymns? How are you going to sing, "Blessed be the name of the Lord"? Huh? Victory in Jesus. Lord, I love you. Here I am to worship. I mean, how are we going to do that? You're not going to do it until you get your life straight here, the day that you arrive there. That's where it's all at. Praise him, David. Turn your heart to him, David.